Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My question when it comes to relationships, personal, job, or family, when did you know it was time to go? 206-803-ROCK. Here we go to China. A child in Shanghai could not be issued a birth certificate and scheduled for vaccinations 1 year after his birth because the parents could not settle on a name.
This is a year later?
Yes.
Damn.
A court in Shanghai recently heard a divorce case involving a couple who registered their marriage in 2023, had a healthy baby boy the following year. So everything started going downhill from there because they could not settle on a name for the child. Each party insisted on naming the child according to their own wishes and demanded that the other provide the original documents and a power of attorney, but neither gave in. So evidence presented in court showed that they went to the hospital separately to try to have their preferred name registered for the child. Both attempts were rejected due to non-compliance with regulators.
All right.
The child is over a year old now. Doesn't have a birth certificate. He can't register his household registration, even get vaccinations. That's very difficult, according to the judge who presided over the case. Now, the courts, they emphasize that the birth medical certificate, that's the important basis for a newborn to obtain legal identity.
Yes.
And if parents delay the process due to personal conflicts, it constitutes an infringement on the personal rights of the minor, and both parents should be held accountable. It also reminded the parents they should not use the children or any child as a bargaining chip in emotional conflicts, nor should they use the disputes to shirk their guardianship obligations. They say to protect the fundamental rights of the young child, the court issued a special notice of care for minor children, which required both parents to cooperate in obtaining a birth certificate with a specified time frame. But they quickly started arguing over the custody of the original documents.
Oh, Lord.
Now, after repeated mediation, it was decided the original birth certificate be temporarily kept by the court before being transferred to the mother so she could handle the mandatory household registration process. The unusual divorce case went viral on Chinese social media, leaving many wondering how such a minor issue could ruin a marriage.
That's ridiculous. Let's name your kid something, man. Or just do the thing like, look, they had to be fighting for both first and middle name, I guess.
I guess.
Typically, you can alter. And look, my wife and I, some of the names are easier than others, but you start with a huge list, right? And you start dwindling it down. And we didn't have an argument about it, but it was just, no matter what name she said, I would come up with a rhyme on the spot. And she said, you're making this bad. I said, I'm not trying to make this bad. What I'm saying is, once you name your kid, that's their name. So I'm just letting you know when they get to junior high school and all that, this is what they're going to hear.
Yeah.
So if it's an easy rhyme and you can make something horrible out of it, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm a guy,
right,
and this is
right.
What we do. So if your name rhymes with anything, we're going to go for it. I used to get Steve Hill is on the pill. Now, look, we were in fourth grade. We had heard of the pill. I didn't really know what it was. None of us did.
Yeah. It just rhymed.
But I didn't like it. You know, like it bugged me. That's what they came up with. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's called piles.
Yeah, right, exactly, which is what? Hemorrhoids in England?
Is it?
It is. In England.
I don't think the people are calling me knew that.
They weren't. But had I been there, I'd have been like, yeah, you're a hemorrhoid. Yeah. And in England, people suffer piles.
Well, eventually I'll get piles.
That's exactly it.
I did not know it at the time.
Yeah.
And now, as far as jobs go and relationships, oftentimes you can kind of see the writing on the wall in certain instances.
Oh, yeah.
But there was one job that I had where I was like, I need to get out of this. So I was working in a station in West Virginia. And they had a better paying job in Hagerstown, Maryland. So I thought to myself, you know what? It's a better shift. It's more money. It's
but you found a place worse than West Virginia.
Oh, see, I did not know that.
I know you
to
didn't
me,
know
To me, Maryland
that, but...
is, that's where I went for vacations growing up.
But you didn't go to Hagerstown.
No, I did not. But
right.
I just assumed, like anything else, I'm in West Virginia.
You think
Virginia.
Hagerstown's worse than West Virginia?
I do.
Oh, God, yes.
I do. Because,
oh, yeah.
I'll tell you the difference. That in a lot of ways, you're not wrong, but the difference would be West Virginia is an entire state, so you can go somewhere and say it's beautiful. There's things you can do where Hagerstown is just...
Look, I grew up in a college town. I was fortunate. You know, I mean, as far as concerts went growing up, Grateful Dead played in Morgantown. Duran Duran, Whitney Houston, you name it, we had concerts.
Right.
We had things that were going on. We had an art scene. We had theater. We had orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
We had a public transportation system that ran on a monorail throughout the town.
We had fluoride, goddammit.
We did, well, we had Swish.
Yeah.
But I just did not know. I did not know I was basically moving to farm country, mm-hmm. which is fine. It did not have the same stuff. They didn't have chain restaurants. Like, there was no Outback Steakhouse. You had to go to Frederick for that.
Yes. Frederick's the happening spot.
There was no, Ruby Tuesdays or TGI Fridays or all the things that Morgantown had.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even, I just took for granted that mm-hmm. that was something that was,
everywhere.
So I get there, and I worked there for 8 months total. Now, the boss of the entire organization was the general manager that owned the radio station.
Okay.
So she was a battle whip. And at one point in time, and I still have this letter saved, someone was stealing toilet paper out of the bathroom.
Was it single ply?
I have a pretty good idea who this was. The Round Mound of Sound, who was having, I don't think he was stealing toilet paper. He was one of those guys that had a lap band surgery.
He was using a lap.
He was using the toilet paper.
Right.
I truly don't believe that anyone was stealing the toilet paper. But Kibbe Albright sends out this memo, and I still have it to this day. It's a letter. And everyone had it on his desk. If I don't find out who's stealing the toilet paper, I'm going to bring in somebody she knew from the Hagerstown Police Department.
Oh, my God.
And they were going to do a lie detector test. That's what she said. I still have this. I have this letter. This is not a joke. And she was going to make everyone go through the lie detector test. And as soon as she found out who was stealing the toilet paper, they were going to need to pay for it. And then they were immediately going to be terminated, which is ridiculous. If you're going to be terminated, there's no point.
One or the other, man.
Paying for the toilet paper. And it was at that point in time, I was like, I got to get out of here. This is my boss. Like, this is the person in charge. This is the person making decisions for this radio station.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I saw the writing on the wall. I was like, I got to find another job immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point in time, so what I did was this. I lived in Hagerstown for 4 or 5 months. And then I couldn't take it. So I moved to Frederick, which was about a half an hour, 35 minutes away. Problem is, it's over a huge mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was kind of difficult in the winter months, but I decided to live in a different town just because I couldn't take
that. Were you still working in Hagerstown?
I was still working in Hagerstown. Right. I was commuting every day from Frederick. Frederick I loved. Frederick was a great little city. But I mean, I was only there 3 months moving in when I'm like, that was my first wife. We hadn't been married yet, but I was like, we need to get out of here.
Yeah.
I was like, can you find a job someplace? And she's like, well, whoever finds the job first,
we'll go there.
We'll just follow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whoever's got a better job, we'll get established. And then I can find something. I work in retail.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can find a radio job. But that is why I kept that memo. And I went and told my boss. I was like, did you see this? He's like, yes, it's absolutely ridiculous. My program director.
Yeah.
He's like, I know. He's like, it's chaos. And he's like, there's nothing I can do. That's just who she is. But she would storm up and down the hallways and all this stuff and just make it a very intimidating environment.
For no reason.
Like, she was like Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Like, you were always in trouble. Also, she did have a little poodle that sat on her lap all the time.
For real?
No, not a poodle, but one of those long
Pomeranian?
Hair, like with a little bow in the top of the head.
Pomeranian.
Yeah. Yeah. With the long hair that went down the sides.
Pomeranian. To me, that is a red flag.
It looks like Pomeranian, or there's also Papillons.
It might be the Papillon. I think I'm actually confusing them, and I mean a Papillon. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah.
I dated a girl that had one. It's the only reason I know.
But that was the one. That was the one job.
Who stole the toilet paper?
You know, honest to God, I really just think Randy was using it. No, I mean, there was a lot going on back then.
Yeah.
But at that point in time, that was my first full time job. Like, well, I had a full time job before, but it paid $13,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I was working 6 nights a week on overnights. This was a midday shift where I was making $22,000 a
year. That's huge, man.
So from that point, I'm just like, look, I'm almost doubling my money. I've got to take this job and do it.
Absolutely.
But once I got there, I did not need to steal toilet paper anymore. What I did do is I stole a microphone out of the production studio before I left.
Yeah.
I stole a really nice AKG.
That's worth taking. And they're not going to miss it.
No, they didn't even know they had it.
I like this theory.
What's that?
Yeah, man. I stole something else. I didn't steal that.
Go bigger. No, go bigger. Go home. Go bigger. Go home.
He left because of the toilet paper accusations. In the end, he said, you know what? I will steal something. It'll just be one of the microphones.
Yeah.
But can you really steal toilet paper from work? How could you prove I didn't just use a lot of work?
Well, that's kind of Miles' point. This guy had lap band surgery. And if you know anything about it, a lot of toilet paper is going to be used at least soon after the surgery.
Right.
Putting it as delicately as I can.
Was that the same guy we worked with? that had that surgery?
And no, then, that was Merson.
Wasn't he it? Was, yeah, he was really nice, but I think he kind of ate out of it too, right?
Did he? I don't know.
I believe that he did. But I do remember this other guy. I won't drop his name again, but he had the same surgery, and he did lose a lot of weight. But I do remember when he came back to work, he's a lot thinner, but was in the bathroom a lot. Yeah.
And then the final straw of all this was that there was one dude who was a sales guy, and his name was Andy, and he was a decent guy. Like, he was the guy that you could go out, throw down with, have a good time. Like, he was the one friend that I kind of, you know, met along the way at that job. And so we hung out a lot. And one day, and this is about at my breaking point, he said, hey, he said, I want to meet up with you. We need to talk. And I was like, well, that seems like a very weird request.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one bar in Hagerstown called Oliver's. Nice. And Oliver's actually had pretty good chicken wings. Not a bad spot. But he meets me there for lunch on a Saturday or a Sunday. I can't remember the deal. As we sat down, I'm like, hey, man, just make sure are you okay? He's like, I'm okay, man. I just need to talk to you about something. And he takes this binder out of his briefcase, like a three-ring binder, right? And he opens it up and he says, I want to talk to you about Amway.
Oh, my God. And
my one friend. My one friend who I had no idea. You know, like, I felt like I was being trapped.
You were.
By a religious cult.
Yeah.
Like, in a weird way, backed into a corner. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. He's like, just let me get through. It's only 25 minutes. And I'm like,
no.
All right, give me a shot, another beer. Here we go. So I said, and at the end of that, I was just so disappointed in, like, the whole thing. I was like, I need to get the hell out of this.
Do you even want to hang out with the guy again?
No.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
No, we've been friends for, you know, 5 or 6
I had
months.
A neighbor years ago at that first place I lived on Capitol Hill, and she did it to me with that Kirby vacuum. And I...
How did she get you? Like, it's not like to say, hey, come over, I'm going to show you my Kirby vacuum.
No, you know, and I should have known better, because I did door-to-door sales. Like, I'm working at this new place. I just got to get, like, 8 people to do the demo for.
Okay.
But I asked her something specific, and she was like, no. And then she showed up with that vacuum, and frankly, I was just... It's like, I was friends with her and her boyfriend, and I was pissed.
Yes.
Kind of rude, and it kind of ruined... Like, they lived down the hall, and it just... We never really hung out again, because I was just like...
That's basically what I was... That's
and she was, like, mad at me, and I'm like, no, you're using friendship to try to sell me something. I had asked you, like, this isn't a sales pitch. No. And I just... You know me. Fine. I just, like, just stop. I'm not buying it. Well, get out of my apartment.
But my thing was, like, what is real? Like, I thought we were friends. You know, what is...
It's Amway real.
Yeah.
Is Amway still around?
They have a different name now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they try to shake that and basically do the same thing.
So same thing, different name.
Different pyramid, different name for the pyramid.
No, they still got Amway.
Do they?
Yes,
they go, did they go back to their original name?
Website and everything.
Okay.
Start your own business.
I will say real quick, on the other end, my sister-in-law used to sell that Pampered Chef stuff.
Dude, that was different. Because
some of those products were awesome. That cooking stone was great.
I worked with someone when I was in restaurants. So, have you heard of Pampered Chef? I've not heard of Pampered Chef. Hey, just come by. And she even told me, basically, I'm going to try to sell you crap. I was like, all right. But a bunch of us were going. Plus, she was cool, drank a lot, smoked weed, whatever. But, like, let's see what we rolled out of there with a bunch of crap. Because it is stuff you would actually use.
Correct.
You know, and that's all anyone asks, man. It's very unlikely that someone just needs a vacuum cleaner in the moment that you show up. Right?
Right.
But if you're like, look, man, you just need a new pizza cutter because the other one's getting a little rickety. Like, what?
Just buy it here.
Why not? Great Tupperware stuff, whatever the hell it was. You're like, cool.
Right, that's why, like,
a nice vegetable
peeler.
And
she was trying to make extra money, right? Both kids were in school. They're educators. But, like, I was always like, yeah, but we're using her stuff, so it doesn't feel like a trap.
That's the difference.
Have you guys ever been in a relationship with someone who you were worried about their actions?
How so?
Well, if they would harm you or harm someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Or being in one of those situations where there was just an element of the unknown... Where there bad things could have happened.
For sure. And that's part of the reason I decided to break it off. And it turns out I was right. Did not hurt me. Almost hurt herself. But basically stalked me for like 4 months after that. And it was freaking... Like, I would be at work, man. And I'm in the kitchen. And it's not like the crazy person says, hey, I'm badass crazy and I want to find this guy. They just say, hey, is he working today? I really need to talk to him. So to do me a solid, to run, hey, so-and-so's here, just says they need to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then your coworker realizes in that moment, like, I probably should not have done that. But I will go out to deal with her because if I didn't, she would stick around. But she was one of those people where she wouldn't just stick around and wait. She would stick around and make a scene. And it's just so exhausting when you kind of have to go out there and say, You need to go outside and just say, like, the only reason I'm talking to you is because I know what your response is going to be. And, like, this is getting old. And you really try to take the high road at first. But when someone's a lunatic, like, it just, it doesn't work.
Right.
Right. And it, like I said, this went on for a while. Then something mildly tragic happened to her. I got wind of this. Just did a quick cursory check on them. I did not hate them. I do not want them to die. But they put themselves in a position where you don't know if they're suicidal or if they're reckless, right?
Correct.
But it's kind of at that point. And even then, I was irritated, but like, all right, well, I'm going to check on this person. They weren't exactly suicidal, but I don't think they had a zest for life. It's probably the best way to put it. But eventually convinced this person to get some help. And that is the last time that I spoke with them. Because even months after that, I would get to, hey, have you heard from so-and-so? I'm like, I have not, and I don't want to. I wish the best for them. I do not know what the outcome of the treatment was. I do not know if they're alive or dead. I don't even know now. I haven't even Googled. I feel like if I were to Google, somehow this person would just poof, you know, show.
And so like they know you're Googling them.
That's what I mean. It's like looking in the mirror and saying, Candyman. Like, look, man, don't even ask me about this person because it was a stressful 4 months. I'm dating a chick. I'm at work, and this chick calls me at work. And I generally speaking, with the exception of my kids, please don't call me at work. I'm at work, right? Anything can wait. But my girlfriend at the time was like, she is outside of my home across the street. And I'm like, oh, my God. Right?
Yeah.
But it was just constant, man. Like, my buddies at their jobs, like, she's around. She has nothing to do with any of our jobs. She has nothing to do with my current girlfriend. She had nothing to do with my buddy's girlfriends. But everyone would spot her. And it's not like she was subtle. I mean, like, apparently... As the one girlfriend put it, I'm like, well, where is she? She's like, she's across the street. And I'm like, is she at like a friend's house? She's like, and keep in mind, this is City Street Street Parallel Park, and these are all row homes. She's like, she's standing across the street staring at my place. I'm like, well, how long has she been there? She's like, it's been about 30 minutes. I'm like, have you said anything? She's like, I'm not dealing with that. There's something about that says death awaits you. You know, so then, and I'm like, look, I'll handle it. And she's like, well, are you going to reach out to her? I'm like, I don't need to. She's stalking me.
Right.
I promise you, within the next 24 hours.
So did you never addressed it? She just kind of went away?
I addressed several of those things with her about, like, look, if you got a problem with me or whatever's going on in your brain, then you need to come to me. You cannot involve other people. She never bothered my family, which was good, but I may have had a caveat on that. If I find out that you're around my family, like, things are going to be bad for you. But stay away for my friends, if you have an issue with me or whatever it is you need to talk about, then stalk me. And she did. But it's one of those, you realize it's endless. You know, we're having the same conversation over and over.
So what, was it you, like, moving or getting another job? Like, what was the way that she stopped doing this?
When I found out something mildly tragic had happened and got her to get treatment.
Okay.
So at that point, you know, someone takes her away. So I'm off the hook. But honestly, you're still not even comfortable because, like, I don't know how long the treatment was. I don't know exactly what they're treating her for because there's 8 million different things going on up there, right? But I'm like, when she's done with this treatment, I spent about 6 months waiting to just see her again. You know, that's the thing.
Is that why you moved to New Orleans?
That was part of the reason I moved to New Orleans, man.
Okay. Honest to
God, that is part of the reason I got to go.
That's a lot.
The only thing you could do is kill this thing. And obviously, I'm not going to kill anyone. So it's like, look, legally, I can't kill you, but as long as you're alive, you keep following me everywhere, and it's weird, man. And like I said, I can deal with it to a degree, because eventually I'm going to snap, but you're accosting my friends. You have accosted my girlfriend, and it's like, look, man, I need to go for me, you know, just because I'm going to lose my ass, because this is ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. Just all the time, every day, I mean, for months, man. That's right, ladies. I'm a catch.
Yeah. Well, magical weenus.
I guess, but somehow it's not flattering.
And standing outside.
I found standing outside staring at the
across house. The street. I found this out the hard way. You know, there's a town in PA called Lewisburg,
yeah,
Pennsylvania, right? Bucknell University's there, but there's a very famous giant federal penitentiary.
Okay.
So I'm doing door-to-door sales in this neighborhood. I had sold this woman something, go around the neighborhood. It's like 2 hours later. I'm standing out there waiting for my ride to pick me up. She's on her porch getting her mail. I just give her a wave. 2 seconds later, dude pulls up. Obviously, this neighborhood is all the dudes that work at this penitentiary or are state cops.
Yeah.
And he is pissed. What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, get my truck. We go back to his house, and he's like, so let me get this straight. You're just selling stuff? I go, yeah. He goes, you sold her one. I go, yeah. And he goes, all right, yeah, that makes more sense. She just called, so there's a dude waving at her from across the street.
Jesus.
Worked out well. Guy ended up buying one off me, too.
Yeah. Are you serious?
But then he felt bad. Because he was, he didn't arrest
me. Was this a coupon book?
Yeah. For like Domino's pizza.
Sure, why not?
But like there's snow on the ground. It's, I mean, I'm just standing out there. So I just wave, thinking this will calm her down.
Yeah.
Not thinking it's dark. She thinks she's about to get murdered.
Yeah.
So,
oops.
Yeah. So I get what your ex, the girl you were dating with, who's like, she's standing out there just staring at me.
No one was comfortable.
When it comes to relationships, personal job, or family, when did you know it was time to go? 206-803-ROCKS.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in the men's room.
All-star lineup for one night of acoustic holiday magic.
Yes, indeed.
KSW proudly presents Unwrapped, an acoustic holiday featuring Brent Smith and Zach Myers of Shinedown fame.
Mm-hmm.
The Pretty Reckless,
mm-hmm.
featuring Taylor Monson.
That is correct.
Daughtry, featuring Daughtry. Hollywood Undead, featuring people who are alive.
Yes.
And a Mammoth featuring Wolf Van Halen.
Who's not that Wolf big.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a show. Those tickets on sale now. KISW.com. Join us Friday night, December 12th at Angel of the Winds Arena in Everett. Get those tickets now before they sell out. KISW.com. All right, a question when it comes to relationships, personal, job, or family. When did you know it was time to go? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dylan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, go Mariners.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Mariners.
All right. So about 12 years ago, I was working at an IT job. And long story short, I'm sitting next to a guy who is just a bundle of rage. He is chain smoking, energy drink chugging. Just, I mean, every time the phone rang, he would have to curse out loud before he picked it up just so he could let loose some of the rage, right?
All right.
Just your typical IT guy. So one day.
Is that a typical IT guy?
If you're calling about a printer, yeah, probably.
Okay.
And our experience, I would say that's about right.
Until now.
Until now. We've had two normal ones, but we've worked with some crazy IT guys.
Some definite, like, and I would say interesting folk.
That is a kind way of putting that. Yes. Yes.
That is true.
Very, very kindly putting it. So this kid, he probably looked like he washes his hair once a week. He should be nowhere near people, pretty much. So one day someone has the audacity to call him up and ask him a question, and he answers it and just flips out and goes outside to chain smoke and probably chug a Red Bull or something. And he comes back in a minute or so later, and he's got this like S-eating grin on his face, right? Like just something happened. I'm like, okay. So he's the type of kid that's wearing steel toe boots to a desk job. Okay. Weird. Whatever. And he pulls his boot off. And he's got his sock, and it's all bloody. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what is going on? He pulls his sock off, grabs a pair of pliers, because he kicked something outside in his steel-toe boots, and his toe's all bloodied, and he rips his large toenail off.
Ah! Okay.
I that was it for me. I was done. I was like, I'm 4 months next to this guy. That was it. I could handle the stress. I could handle the freaking out every time the phone rang, but he just pulls that thing off with pliers and the sock and everything's bleeding. I'm like, this is a 9-to-5 job, man. What are you doing?
What did he kick, like a wall?
I barely remember it because I tried to block it out, but he said he kicked like a giant tire or something. Yeah, he kicked something that did not have any give in his steel-toe boots.
So you said
it must have...
You worked with this dude for 4 months, right? And he's the reason why you wanted to get out of that job?
That was the moment. I definitely didn't like working with him. I had other plans already. That just essentially sped those plans up in light speed.
How long did it take you to figure out that this dude is just someone you never want to be around?
It, not long. I mean, you know the type. I mean, it is just like he is just angry all the time. He's probably mid-20s, so this is 12, 13 years ago. If he's still alive, I would be shocked that his heart didn't give out by now. Like, I mean, just
or his teeth.
Anger.
Yeah, that might say, or his teeth, mm-hmm. drinking all the Red Bull. Yeah, we worked with some of those guys.
Chain smoking, ridiculous.
Yeah, we used to work with a guy, and he worked in, was he IT or traffic? I want to say he worked in traffic, which had a radio station and or TV.
Insanity?
I assume, yeah. You are the person, you're kind of the liaison between the salespeople and the programming side, but you're responsible for organizing and coordinating all the commercials. I will say this. In the world of radio, that is the job I would want last.
So think about it this way.
It just
Friday at 5 o'clock, you're ready to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will come in with a last-second order for a weekend thing going on.
Because they've already paid for it.
It'll be, you know, 100 different commercials because the event didn't sell as well as they thought it would. Could be the Maryland State Fair, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
It's the last minute. And now he's got to go in and redo Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
For like five different stations.
And he's about ready to kill somebody at all times.
And it's a night. I mean, the job sucks no matter. I will say, our traffic department here is
awesome.
They are fantastic. Or if they're not fantastic, they hide it well. But they're not nearly as stressed as this dude in Baltimore. So we realized, just watching him walk up and down the hall, he never yelled anything or anything like that, which is almost scarier, but you could see the rage inside of him. So when he walked down the hall, he always had his hands and fists. He never really had his head up. He had it down like you're muttering to yourself, you know, when you're super angry and just need to walk away. But he did that all the time. So picture like the worst argument you've had with a significant other, and you don't want to carry it on anymore. You want to stop before they say something stupid. You ball up your fists and you mutter and go down the hall. Like 24 hours a day, this guy was like this. So we pieced together like, hey, and we were being dead serious. If anyone's going to walk into this building and just open fire on everyone, it's going to be this guy. Now, we weren't even joking. We're like, this is that guy. So we made it a point to treat him so well all of the time because we just thought maybe he would spare us. When he finally snaps, because we were like, look, it's not a question of if.
Yeah. But the other problem was, I like the guy.
We
got along fine, right? But I was still working a lot of the other shifts, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of quiet time in a studio when you're just running a board that you can talk to these people. And he would have some interesting stories.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, imagine a guy that's maybe is into metal, but you don't know.
Yeah.
And then he didn't strike me as a big drinker.
No.
But he loved playing pool. And every few months, there'd be a dust up at whatever he was playing pool.
Oh, the pool hall or something?
Yeah. So me and our other buddy, awesome, super nice black dude.
Frank.
No.
Aaron?
He's different, same kind of product. He worked with us. The Lion. Ryan the Lion.
Oh, Ryan. Yeah. God, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Ryan the
man.
Lion was super cool.
He was real cool.
But we'd have those conversations, and then this guy would leave, and he would just look at me and go, like, brother, he's close to the edge. I'm like, God damn it, stop saying it. And he's like, well, he likes us. We're fine. I'm like, stop saying it. And it's like, yeah, man, it could be bad.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's not like we all got together and said, this is what's going to happen. Everyone had separate conversations about Vinsanity, but we all came to the conclusion, like, he's going to kill somebody.
Well, if he comes in, it's time for you to get out of the building.
Yeah.
Well, his name was Vince, and at the time, Vince Carter's nickname was Vinsanity.
Vinsanity, right.
I don't think he ever picked up while we were calling him Vinsanity as we thought he was insane.
No, I don't think he did either. I thought he was taking it like, oh, that's cool. It's like,
also,
no.
He was a bigger guy. He was tall. He was probably like 6'3".
He was tall.
If you're going to describe what, quote-unquote, this is not bad. If you're going to describe, quote-unquote, what a lone wolf looks like, he looked like that guy.
He did.
Okay.
Jet black
like, that's
every
what I'm
day,
saying.
Without
like,
a doubt.
And he never seemed... He never seemed super angry, but he never seemed happy at all.
No, definitely not. Maybe not angry, but certainly not happy.
And they clearly piled off work on this poor bastard all.
And that's the thing. And I talked, there were two other ladies that worked in the traffic department. They were very sweet, very cool. One of them I kind of got close to, and I'm like, hey, man, why do you guys keep passing this stuff on to Vince? Like, he's going to kill everybody. And she's like, look, I know, but the way that they send these things down here, it just ends up on his desk. I'm like, you can't pick up the slack. She's like, look, we do what we can, but we know he's on the edge all the time. And no one knows why. He's just that guy, right? He's just he's born on the edge, and he's going to stay there. And I'm like, seriously, man, like, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about me getting, like, 18 bullets in my body because something went wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, seriously, guys, please. please pick up some slack. I know your job sucks, but really, if you could do anything, because I'm scared of this man.
She's
terrified. But they knew.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they shared their own little cubicle area. There's three of them. You know, like, so they heard a little more of what he was bitching about. And he's basically bitching about the job. They're like, but, you know, everyone bitches about the job. It's just different when it's like, and I'm going to kill the, right? Everyone bitches about the job. I don't care what the job is, but he did it different.
And when he raged about the Ravens, it was spooky.
I know.
Because he didn't even look like a sports fan, Mike.
No.
So imagine all of a sudden he's, like, real angry at the football team. You're like, okay.
You almost wanted to reach out to the Ravens and say, guys, seriously, like, win a game for your safety.
Yeah. If you hear this guy yell, run the ball, run the goddamn ball.
Just trust the science. Right.
There's one fan to listen to, it's him. And I don't know how, but he might have a weapon on him.
He is not okay.
So, at the same point in time, there's a little bit
of... Nice before, guy, though, man. I love him.
And if you're streaming, hey, man, we love you, brother.
Yeah.
So we used to broadcast live at the State Fair. So I was on at night from 7 till midnight, whatever the deal is. And it was like 5 nights a week. And the State Fair was like 2 weeks.
Oh, Lord.
So you're out there for 2 weeks broadcasting your show live. The guy in front of me, who worked in the afternoons, I've told this story before, but he ended up, we're like a week into the fair, it's a Friday night, and he signs this woman's breast because she comes up to the booth. I'm not there yet. I'm not on the air. And he signs it with a Sharpie.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. Unbeknownst to Johnny, her husband, boyfriend, whatever, is also at the State Fair. Now, apparently she had them out. It wasn't like she lifted up her shirt or anything. It was just kind of what she was wearing. And he signed them, and I'm standing there at the table, and this guy comes up to me, he goes, are you Johnny such and such? And I'm like, no, I'm Miles. Nice to meet you. You know, hey, we got this, chance for you to sign up.
We got free stickers.
Yeah, we got the sticker, we got a pen, what do you need here? And he's like, if you see him, you let him know I'm going to kill him. And he lifted up his shirt, all right, and he's packing heat.
And do you have any idea what this is about at the time?
No. No. And so, okay, but so there's gang.
Now I can almost guarantee you it is not legal.
No,
in Maryland to have a
concealed. This is also North Baltimore. This is Timonium, so it's not
Timonium.
It's not out of the question. Yeah. All right,
hey, hon, he's dead,
but he's standing over by like one of those games where you throw a dart into a star and you know, he's standing there and he's just waiting for Johnny. And I don't know where Johnny is. I know Johnny is with his girlfriend. Somewhere in the fairground.
Are you trying to figure out how you're going to wave Johnny away from there as he's on approach?
He did not know what Johnny looked like. His girlfriend did, but his girlfriend is still with him. Like, come on, let's go.
So she knew that her boyfriend was losing his mind.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Okay.
So then, all right, so he's still there for an hour and a half. The problem is Johnny still has his stuff behind the table at the fair. So he still has his personal
back. He's in the beer garden. He's having some fun.
Yes, he's riding rides. He's doing his thing with his girlfriend.
At the fair.
His backpack's behind me. I know he is here. So is this guy.
So is the Grim Reaper.
Right.
Yeah. His reckoning.
So this is how... So we had a two-way communication. This is not even a... This is before the days of cell phones.
Yeah.
For the most part. So I call up the guy who's running the board, and I said, hey, you need to patch me through to Pasha, who's my boss.
Yeah.
And I need to talk to him one-on-one. You need to put the phone up to the Marty unit, and I need to talk to him. So he's like, what is going on out there? I was like, dude, there's a guy with a gun. He's going to kill Johnny Kramer. And he said, are you serious? I mean, he's been standing out there now for an hour and 15 minutes.
His girlfriend's
trying to get him to leave. He's like, I'm just afraid, you know, that I'm going to get shot. Or because he didn't really believe me that I wasn't the person, kind of. Because he's kind of like, you're trying to Jedi mind at me? Yeah. You know, like, look at me like,
Johnny, it's you.
Yeah, like thinking it's me. So then I'm like, okay, look, I'm not going to take the next couple breaks. This is a huge state fair.
Yeah.
So I go, I grab Johnny's backpack, and I go running around looking for him. I cannot find him anywhere. Turns out at the time he was on the Ferris wheel. But
it takes a while.
Yeah,
it does.
It really
takes a while to get on.
When you get down there, I'm going to kill him.
But I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. Now by the time I get back, to the booth, Pasha has already made the executive decision that we all need to get out of there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
the promotions department is tearing down the thing. He has called the chief engineer, Kenny Cardoso, who is on his way to break down the van and get rid of all the broadcasting equipment. Because he didn't want the van, because he was afraid the van was going to be vandalized or whatever. or shot at.
Shot at, right.
Because this thing just sat there for 2 weeks, the van did.
Yeah.
It didn't move. But he instructed him to go down there and get all the crap and pull it out. They're tearing down the tent. They're tearing down the table. I get back there. I'm like, what did I miss?
Right.
What happened? Nothing happened. It's just the boss going, you all need to get out of there now for your own personal safety.
All of you should get out of there now so you don't die. That's the way passion talks.
Right.
So then eventually gets all run into the parking lot.
Ah, look at that.
Johnny and his girlfriend. And I'm like, Johnny, do you understand what's going on right now? I was like, do you understand why I have your backpack? Do you understand why there was no table there? There was no tent? Why I have all your stuff with me? Like, I'm going to see you tomorrow. I'm just going to bring it in. But, dude, I have all your things. He's like, I know my car keys are in there. So it was just by chance that I ran into him in the parking lot because all his crap really was in his backpack. But yeah, Patrick was like, you're all out of there. Like, there was like three promotion girls. There was a promotions director involved. Everything. And we didn't broadcast for the first two nights of the next week. We came back on a Wednesday.
Would you go back?
And I wouldn't. They finished the week out. But he's like, you've got to be kidding
me. Did Johnny go back on the air?
He never broadcast from there again.
Okay, I was going to say, like, at least don't send his.
I mean, look, it's going to be my show at night.
As somebody that has signed a few pairs of cleavage.
Yeah.
I don't know. It never dawned on to be like, is this okay with your boyfriend or husband? I just go, all right, I'll sign him.
Right. I wouldn't think to ask because you're the one offering under not his property.
Correct.
That said, if he's a psychopath, I would assume you're not asking me.
I am never.
Because if you want my autograph, I assume you also don't want me to die. And then every once in a while, you'll have a dude roll up, hey, man, you saw my wife's tees? I'm like, okay. I mean, like, yeah. Is she cool with that?
Right.
And, okay.
But this guy did show up at a couple later events.
Still looking for him.
Yeah. Oh, he was. This guy was nuts. He was out of his mind. I mean, you got to remember, he had a gun that was unholstered in his pants with a T-shirt covering it. Riding rides at the fair, by my dad.
Yeah, I know. Jesus Christ, man.
You know what I mean? Like
you get on a roller coaster that jostles just enough.
Just shoot you in the Johnson.
Sorry.
Yeah, me, my gun, and my Johnson.
There you go, exactly.
But that was one. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
The
times.
And the state fair was stressful enough working there, man. It just was. It's like most people don't even know what station you're on. They do not care. They just want to know what free crap you have. And then a lot of people, and I don't know if this is true in Washington, but it certainly was in Maryland. You could tell people, like, hey, man, we're on the air. Meant absolutely nothing. They're just straight up having a conversation with it. You're not talking to them. They know you're not talking to them. You're obviously doing a broadcast. Meant absolutely nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. I never did anything in the fair, but I ran the oldie station, and they had a truck that had like a big window in it.
All right.
So whoever was working on the air of the oldie station, God, I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was Big Don, one of those guys. Anyhow, Mike, I'm back in the studio running the board. So me and this guy can talk, but nobody out there can hear him until he like is broadcasting.
Yeah.
And I remember he would just sit there and be like, yep, got me in here like an animal in a cage. And he goes, speaking of animals, he goes, this person in front of me looks like they've been drinking, you know, like poisoned water or something down by the bay. And I'd be like, what do you mean? He goes, I don't know, man. They don't look right in the head. This that. Yeah. He would just describe people walking around.
Walking by.
Right, but same thing. And he was like, we like finish a break and he's like, he goes, they're just looking at me. And he's like, it's so odd. And he's like, they're looking at me like I'm the freak. And he's like, These people are freaky looking.
They really were, man.
Well, Baltimore's got some freaks. Seattle's got some freaks. They're just totally different.
Different style.
Like, yeah. I can't even put my finger
Seattle,
on the difference.
Seattle, though, I feel like in Seattle, it looks like you earned whatever situation you're in, right? Even if it's just unfortunate. But, like, you may have started normal and something went wrong.
In Baltimore, you just drank the water.
You're like, bro, you have not been okay since birth.
But when you go to state fair here, like, you'll meet, and, like, we have listeners, right? They might be from out in the cut. But they look like they could be loggers or something
sure.
like this.
Yeah.
You meet some of those people from the sticks in Maryland, and no offense,
it's
but they look
bro.
Like they're from Appalachia. Yeah. They look like they've been inbred.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they look, I don't want to say the word, but they don't look right.
No. It's a combination between being inbred and like living beside the nuclear pond on The Simpsons.
Like both of those things happen.
If they had an eyeball in the middle of their forehead, it'd be like perfectly normal.
Yeah.
He's got like three classes, you know? Yeah.
Right, you don't have to say you're from Dundalk.
We know.
Man, green ooze coming out of your ear, my man.
Dude, we're not even kidding. Like, I know you're from
Dundalk.
You
have a lump coming off of the back of your head that's the size of a cue ball.
And yes, it's I'll like a, sign that since
like
you
a,
asked.
It's like a tumor.
You know, I'm a lump.
Like, but you never noticed it. It's just this huge cue ball in the back of your head.
And no hair doesn't grow on it.
Right.
One more thing.
No need to get it checked.
None of their shirts fit. It's either skinny dudes in giant shirts or fat dudes in little tiny shirts. None of them fit correctly.
It's a thing to behold, dude. We used to call it the land of the human surprise.
Yeah.
Because everyone would talk to you like, what?
I never went to a state fair until I moved to Washington State.
It's a freak show.
It's a freak show.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less. And we got your emails on the way from the men's room at KISW.com next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.